All right, let me just pause. Jed, are you back with us?
Yes.
All righty, perfecto. We are set and ready to roll for our MediaBids Power Hour. Thank you so much for all of you who are joining us live and for those who will be listening to us long after we finish up today's teleseminar and today's educational program. Jed and myself, you'll be hearing from Jed in just a couple of minutes, have an incredible passion to help advertising sales leaders win, advertising managers, the owners of advertising organizations, whether we're selling ads in print, by newsletter, by website, or bundled all together. We have lots to share of tools, resources, and strategies, tips and tools and recommendations that will put you head and shoulders above your competitors. Please, as always, during all of our educational programs, close your office door, turn off your electronics, really listen closely to the key points that we're covering. It's not an accident. Over the 10 years that Jed and I have worked together, we do not put something on your screen. We do not want you multitasking. We don't want you many tasking. The more notes that you take and the more notes you capture, the more that you're going to get from our educational program. It's the coach approach. We are coaching in order to give you, to infuse the knowledge rather than to train, which means we hope you get it. Big, big difference, okay? And that's been really our calling over the last 20 years that we've worked with leaders like yourself. Also, we will take any questions. We already have some that are in, and we'll incorporate those, and then we'll weave in others during the course of the live educational program, which is always a benefit for being here. Simply send it to ernest@powerhour.com or hit a reply to the confirmation that brought you here. Jed, I always love to hear some opening words about you, MediaBids, your team, what's cooking, what's rocking, your take on the world. And I will say a few opening words about Power Hour, and then we'll launch right into our topic today where we're going to be talking about budget busting, separating fact from fiction. So, Jed, tell us a little bit about yourself, MediaBids, your team, and the work you guys are doing.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, thanks to Ernest. I appreciate all he brings to these teleseminars. I always learn a lot. I'm sure that listeners will learn a lot today as well. I encourage all of you to check out his Sale Academy. He does a great job, and it's sort of a format similar to what we're doing here, but more interactive. So another great way to pick Ernest's brain. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids. We've been in business and driving revenue to publications for 15 years. We are focused entirely on generating revenue for publications. We do it in a variety of different ways, and we would love to work with your publication. It does not cost anything to use MediaBids. We only make money when we make money for the publications that we work with. We have thousands of advertisers. We place tens of thousands of ads a month, and we're always looking for new outlets and new print partners. So if you're currently using MediaBids, thank you. If you would like to learn more about MediaBids, either as a current user or a potential user, please give us a call. We're almost always here, and we're happy to talk to you more about what we do and what we might be able to do for you. So thanks for joining us, and I turn it back over to Ernest.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jed. It's always a pleasure working with you and your team, to each of you and all of you that are listening live, plus those long after we wrap up today. Take the opportunity to go look at MediaBids. You owe it to yourself. They provide additional revenue for you. They are wonderful partners to work with. They know exactly how to make ads or have ads work for you so you drive revenue. They work in the old-fashioned way, which is they stand behind their work and the work that they're doing. Plus, it also gives you a really nice array of advertisers when you look at the kinds of ads they're going to put in your publication and in your media sources. You're going to love it because it lets you springboard from those ads back over to other larger local, city, regional, market-wide kinds of ads. It gives you more credibility, in other words, okay? So, and for those of you, of course, who are already working with MediaBids and their team, you know the wonderful track record and success that they bring. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in the advertising sales industry in 1986. So let's see, high math, coming into our 30th year. Spent a lot of time selling advertising and a lot of time helping those like you as well. I launched three of my own publications. We sold them. I was a leader in a billion-dollar media group. And we launched Power Hour itself in 1995, having coached and guided more than 2,000 advertising sales leaders and companies and teams in 11 time zones around the world. We provide sales coaching, as Jed has shared, and what that means is the hotter the kitchen, the more we want to be there with you. We love hot kitchens, meaning we love big opportunities, big challenges. We love competitors that are beating down your door. We love when your sales are stalled or stuck. You're not getting the traction you want. That's what we do best positively. And as Jed mentioned, every Tuesday we have a live open mic every Tuesday, same time, Advertising Sales Academy. It's always been a dream of mine to launch this. I think we've done 140 or 150 weeks in a row. It's been a long number of years, but always, always a dream of mine. Every Monday you get about a 10 or 15 minute audio piece. Listen to it. Every Tuesday join us and we talk about it. It's just like we're dialing in here. Here's the difference. You're live. I'm live. I field your questions. Boom, we go. Okay? So that's how it works. Come to our site, powerhour.com, and you can see more about that. Today marks our 242nd industry educational webcast, meaning we're here to help you win. Every single month we show up, put our shoes on, come to work, and talk to you about a topic that's relevant for you and your team. Here we sit in the month when we know it's budget season. It's been many, many years that we've talked about this particular topic, but I can tell you in our weekly academy, we've been back-to-back-to-back 3 weeks in a row doing nothing but talking about budget strategies, budget sales letters, budget creative approaches. The most recent, Jed, as you know, we've been talking specifically about how do you read the buying expertise of a buyer. Are they newbie? Are they expert at the highest? Or are they professional in the middle? How does that compare print versus digital, and where are they? They can be newbie on digital but expert on print. And what do you do about that, and how do you sell? So this is really a very tip of the iceberg, very very important topic, very compelling topic. And the more that you know and understand the budget season, the more successful you'll be. We're going to talk today about separating fact from fiction, about the budget selling season, and about the budget time. We're going to do a little bit on both sides. We're going to talk about building budgets for those of you that are companies of size, that you're working on your budgets. We're going to work on the other side, thinking about the mindset of the ad agencies that are working with their larger and medium-sized clients, and even dancing into the smaller players that maybe they're not in the budget season, but we want to bring them along and have them think about between now and the end of the year and into 2016. So there's eight common myths about budget season. So, Jed, why don't we kick off the myth number one, if we could?
Okay. I dread budget season. Doesn't everyone?
So let's see. Is that myth, methodology, or magic? I don't know. Where does that fall? Is that fact, fiction, or fatigue, right? So the piece about budget season. Hey, Jed, here's a piece. You know, I remember my earliest days in budgets, right? Maybe the first couple of years was like, hey, it's sort of cool. Look what I'm learning. Look what I'm doing. And then I began to realize that budget seasons every year fell in the months of September, October. That's my birthday in October. I hate my birthday because of budget season. I literally dread my birthdays. And my wife would always be like, but I want to do this or I want to do that. And I'm like, you know, talk to me in November. she's like, you're such a party pooper in October. Well, guess what? It's budget season, right? So here's a couple of pieces, all right? I didn't have in my days, Jed, someone like me guiding me, sharing with me that actually budget season was not something to dread. For those of you who are building your budgets, it causes you to pause and stop and think strategically about where you're going to be in 2016, whether it's a new hire, whether it's new circulation or distribution, whether it's an improvement on your website. It's actually a very exciting time when you are building your budget. So rather than dread it, embrace it and use it as a learning opportunity. On the other side, your ad agencies and your key buyers are immersed in budgets, and you pause and say, and we'll talk more about this because it's a reoccurring theme, but why is this prime time selling? Why are we so excited about the budget season. I mean, frankly, Jed, in my days, it was always like, oh, gosh, how am I going to get that renewal? No one's got time for me. Everyone's in budget season. What were they actually talking about in budget season? Me or my competitors? And I'm thinking, how crazy. I actually need to make more noise, get more of their attention, and be more ready to be compared, to compete, or to sell, meaning I need to have my house in order. We'll talk about that a little later on. So the point is that this is an incredibly valuable time. And for those who are in our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy, we talk about this. And I say literally the 10 weeks from September, October, and into middle of November, that 10 weeks, I wish every week of the year were that 10 weeks where everybody was focusing on their media decisions, their marketing, ROI, cost per lead, cost per call, cost per close. I wish everybody was thinking about that. Jed, your take on this point number one.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a painful process, but like you mentioned, I mean, it's the fact that that it's a restart for most companies on how they're thinking about their marketing and how they're allocating their funds, you know, means that it's also a huge opportunity. So, you know, I think that you know, as you alluded to, you know, the opportunity is sort of twofold. It's both sort of getting companies to reevaluate, you know, your product and what it is that you're offering, but also to get companies to kind of think about how they're evaluating all of their vendors, and to, you know, if you introduce sort of a logical way of thinking about their expenditures and thinking about how it is that they're measuring the results of their vendors, you know, this is the, you've got the best shot over the next few months of making that work than any other time of the year.
That's exactly the point. And it's the time that we get tucked into budgets, or the opposite time, we get removed. So we have to really pay attention to this time of year. I was speaking to an advertising media group in the last week, and we were talking about their e-newsletters, and they said, you know, Ernest, you know, we kind of roll along, and, you know, we go about once a month, comme ci, comme ça, sometimes we miss a month. And I'm like, okay, stop, hang on. We got 10 weeks. I actually need you, forget the monthly, I need every 3 weeks, at least between now and the middle of November, because you're going to get an extra two more newsletters in than just doing your standard September, October, and drifting into November, December. I said, this is prime season. Get out your calendars. We're going to roll every 3 weeks. Bam, 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 and off we go. And frankly, Jed, it's not unlike what we do with our educational programs. We ensure that we go early enough in September so that we can do early October so we can be what? Here again early November before things start to wind down in and around Thanksgiving for those of you who are here in the States, and of course for our listeners around the world, you know, before we get into the end of the year holiday season, we try to wrap up and work extra hard, Jed and myself, in our biz, and even in the way that we come out and bring you these educational programs over all of our years, we wind them up early-ish November, but we don't back off. We continue to be here for you and to help you win every step of the way. So great points on that. Jed, what's our second point?
My business is always changing. Why do I need a budget?
All right, perfect. So there, let's go on both sides of the coin, okay? Depending on the size of your media group, for some of you who are part of larger corporate entities, it's a given. You have a budget. It's expected. It's part of the performance. It just is what it is. For those of you who are also with large media companies, there are some opportunities, depending on the culture within your organization, there are some opportunities mid-year to do a mid-year reforecast. So you craft your budget for the first half of 2016 and the back half, and then in May, June, you look at it again, July through December. That's not unusual, and for those who are our ad sales clients and we work with your C-level executives, you know what that's all about, and that is that we like actually a mid-year relook and a reforecast. For those of you who are in medium to smaller groups, we still encourage you, you know, take a look, pull up a spreadsheet, lay out the months going across, take a look at the key expenditure areas and ask yourself, what is it you want to accomplish in each and every month? Even if you're the entrepreneur or the owner of your own company, there's something to be said for that level of discipline. And here at Power Hour, we work with companies that are literally husband and wife teams rolled up all the way to billion-dollar groups and publicly held organization. So we see the full rainbow. We can talk to you about what small means and where we want to stretch you, and we know exactly what it means to prepare you for a quarterly board meeting on the other side. There are a few media groups that can have that same conversation in back-to-back hours the way we do in and out here at Power Hour. We get and understand that, okay? So this piece about, you know, the ever-changing budget, let's dance to the other side. Let's talk about advertisers, right? Those companies of size are very rigorous in their budgeting cycle, okay? But there was also a question I'm going to weave in right here that Angie asks, and she says, if you suspect a prospect is bluffing about their budget, how can you call them on it without sounding confrontational? Well, Angie directly relates to this point. Think about for just a moment. You have 100 advertisers, print, newsletter, web, whatever it might be, 100 advertisers. How many of those actually call you and say, hey, Jed, I'm giving you a ring. Can you tell me when my renewal's up? Can you tell me what the increase will be on the rate card? Right? I mean, Jed, if I'm working on my budget and I'm in a large company or working with an ad agency and I call you up, you go, hey, Ernest, I'm glad you called. Yep, it's going to be, you know, your current ad runs you, you know, $10, and next year it's going to run you $11. Oh, thanks, Jed. Let me go to my budget. And now what month is that? It's going to be in the month of July. Jed, that little quick story is my earliest days of buying Yellow Page ads. That's exactly what we did. We had a budget that said Yellow Pages. We called the rep. They said, yep, your agreement expires in June, and it's going to go from $10 to $11. And we'd say, great, there goes 10, 10, 10 right across January through June. And then in July, it increased to $11, from $11 in July to the end of December. We felt like we were doing a thorough job from a budgeting perspective. So for those of you from a media selling perspective, okay, when you have companies like that, you pause and go, man, if I don't get in there and they don't check the box, I won't be in 2016. That's partially true. In the old days when there were fewer media sources, companies specifically called out the mediums. It was a lot easier to do. Today, there's almost an infinite number. Therefore, the sandwich of here's my rev, here's my profits, what are my decisions in between, are a bit more fluid and flexible. And companies are more understanding that if you make a mid-course ad buy, it's because it made sense and it's not as rigid as it used to be. So therefore, Angie, in your the first piece to recognize about the bluffing piece is you ask yourself, Ernest is making a good point, and Jed reminded me today that no, a small percentage of my advertisers actually ask. So what I'm really hearing is across the sector of all the, you know, attorney and law firms I sell ads to, or the auto dealers, or the chiropractors, or the RV dealers, or whatever it is, fill in the blank, that it isn't actually as rigid. And, in fact, they are bluffing. Okay? They actually, in fact, are budget. Now, there are some questions, Angie, related to taking that bluff a little deeper. Gee, tell me about your process. Gee, tell me about how you navigate. Gee, tell me about your, you know, there's a whole series of questions, you know, that sort of call them out without embarrassing or challenging or being condescending to a buyer, all right? And we have a lot of insight related to that. We do a lot in our Tuesday Academy tied to that, Angie, but it is a great question, all right? So the bottom line is that budgets are more fluid. Buying opportunities that present themselves, companies will take advantage of those. And maybe, Jed, there are some thoughts that you have related to that as you see buyers moving a bit differently and less in the rigid box that you and I both experienced and saw from companies in earlier years. You want to give a little insight to that?
Well, you know, at MediaBiz, we deal a lot with advertisers who we would generally sort of classify as direct response advertisers. And that is, and this is a category which is pretty fuzzy and it's kind of growing, but basically what it means is that they're advertisers who are selling a specific product or service, and they're, you know, they're advertising in an effort to sell as much of that product or service as they possibly can. So, so for guys like that, the budget process tends to be a little bit different. You know, it tends to be, it tends to be more about projected sales than it is about budget specifically. So, in most companies that are dealing with direct sales, what they're looking for from a budgetary perspective is they're looking for a way that they can go back to their to their bosses and say, you know, I figured out a way that we can, instead of selling 5,000 units this year, we can sell 7,000 next year. And this is how much it's going to cost us. And on a per unit basis, we're going to be, you know, we're going to be making more money. And so, really that's kind of what it oftentimes boils down to, I think, with a lot of larger companies, and that is, you know, the budget process is more about sort of encapsulating the opportunities and saying, if we're going to get from point A to point B, here's how we're going to do it from a marketing perspective, and, you know, this is what it's going to produce for us, and this is what it's going to cost for us. So I think that to get back to the question, you know, I think there's two sides of it. I think if you're just battling on the budget side, right? You know, we need $3,000, you know, a month in 2016. You know, get us in the budget. You know, that's one thing, and that's a tough thing to sell, right? Unless you can really sort of capture the imagination of the person you're talking with about what opportunities that expenditure is going to provide and what differences it's going to make in their overall sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for those who have been part of our prior educational programs, for those of you that are also and or part of our Tuesday Academy, we have a very signature proprietary methodology about what we call the teardown. There's a story why it's called the teardown, but in the simplest example, wouldn't you love to be able to go to advertisers and say, tuck me in and spend not $1 more? Talk about the ultimate budget buster, which is what that is. You don't need $1 to go forward. So, Angie, great question. For those of you that might like to learn more about the teardown, just send me an email, put teardown in the subject line, and we'll share more thoughts with you related to that. Jed, let's go to number three of the most common myths, methodologies, or magic.
Don't I just use the dollars in my budget this year that we spent for the budgets next year?
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go down this path. All right. Once again, let's work on both sides of the coin. For those of you who are building your corporate budgets and rolling those up, right, everything that we do is zero-based, meaning assume nothing. Just because you spent, let's take a simple category called postage, and if you spent $500 last year, it doesn't mean you take $500 and rubber stamp all the way across. Maybe you made a change in your direct mail strategy and you're mailing less, and that $500 becomes $400 or $300 or whatever that might be. So never assume anything from a zero-based budgeting perspective. Means you strip it all the way down, we get to the actual expenditures that you're slated for 2016. Let's cross back over to the other side. Well, let's think about our large advertisers, and let's think about ad agencies. This is what we call status quo, that if in their budget, right, they are sort of building in, you know, sort of, well, what we did this year is what we're going to do next year, and you have not inserted yourself into the equation. If you have not, keyword that we use often around our coaching work and all of our academy work, if you don't disrupt status quo, then you're not getting the attention of the agency or the media buyer or the key decision makers. So therefore, they're rubber stamping you not in their media budget, which is not a good thing. So what are those things, and we'll talk about playing big here a little later, but what are those things that set you apart? What is the I wish? I wish my website was twice as visible. I wish I had twice as many newsletter subscribers. I wish I had twice as many advertisers. I wish we renewed at twice the rate or renewal percentage. Okay? I wish I had twice the number of inbound calls for my advertisers. So you have to start with the I wish, and then you have to finish with, and therefore, what are the steps to improve? If not, you are status quo, which means we'll be sitting here this time next year, nothing's changed in your model, you're status quo, and therefore you haven't disrupted the thinking of your ad agencies and your media buyers. That's why you're not getting your ad sales. That's why you're not getting a bigger piece of the pie your competitors are. They're winning, you're not. Or the opposite, if you're sitting here today, say, no, I am thinking about 2016 and 17, I'm thinking about the future, and based on that, here are the things that we're doing towards that specific goal. So when we think about the rolling up of dollars from the prior year, yeah, that's not the approach that we want to take if we're building an internal budget, but in turn we have to think about the psychology of those on the other side of the table. Jed, your comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you raise a good point, and I think that it's really you need to tell a new story. I mean, things are changing so quickly. Whether it's just a matter of the results that you think you can generate, and how that is sort of what your projections are for next year versus what they were this year. I think that all of that stuff sort of matters, and I think that, as you mentioned, the budget process is really an excellent time to revisit that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Jed, let's go to our next point, and then I'm going to weave in a question from Lauren in just a moment here. What is our next of the eight common myths during budget season?
Doesn't everyone know how to do a budget?
Mm-hmm. All right. So, two sides to this conversation. Let's start with the internal, okay? There is no set formulaic approach to budget. Every company has their own path and process. So never assume, even if I hire you as part of my team and you've done budgets before, I need you to understand what my budget process is and what the expectations are, okay? We often think about, budget fact, fiction, and fatigue as well during budget season. And fatigue comes from the fact that you have six budgets coming up, and they're all rolling up to you as an ad sales leader, and they're all coming in differently with varying levels of performance. That is not acceptable. My belief about budget season is if your internal budget process starts in September and rolls into October, November, before you even begin, you meet with your team to get everybody on the same playing field. You review the line items. You talk about the pitfalls. You talk about the mistakes you might make or things that make for a better job or an unacceptable job. And it also creates that peer pressure that everybody in the team knows that they were informed about what best practices are and therefore will deliver a much, much better job. So, no, it is not ever assumed that, and we'll talk a little bit, just related to the overall process about, is a budget a goal or is it grounds for termination? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So when you think about that piece, there is a learning curve and a training process. Let's skip back over. Let's go back out to the advertiser side, okay? There is no set process for them either. A budget is not a budget is a budget. You don't know what they're thinking about. For example, some companies go out to do RFPs, requests for proposals, in the second quarter. What you don't know is that some of the large agencies or some of the large media buyers already did requests for proposals in the second quarter so that it doesn't commingle with the budgets in the third quarter. By the time you get to knocking on the door, hoping to make your presentation, it's too late. And if you didn't know back in March that you needed to be in that RFP process in April, May, June, then you've missed your window. Sorry, see you next year. Okay? So there's that piece, okay, to recognize. The other part is when you're working with medium to smaller buyers who have never really worked in a corporate structure and don't understand quite the budgeting component, they can be sort of clay in your hand. You can help them think about their game plan. Jed, in my corporate days, I remember getting calls from ad buyers going, "Hey, Ernest, I'm working on my budget. Hey, could you help me craft the plan? I got a couple of hours in the afternoon. Will you come and help me map the best game plan for me and for my team and for next year?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." I never thought about how insane that was, but I just answered with the words yes, and I obviously built their budgets, obviously including myself, which I was part of that, but it was, very interesting to see their mindset behind the scenes. So, Jed, I'm sure as you know and as we know, everybody has sort of a different perspective related to their building of the budget, especially creative types and media buyers don't always have as much fiscal or financial savvy. They're kind of pulling the trigger on decisions. Some of it's based on emotion. Some of it's based on fear. Some of it's based on we're behind on our numbers. I'm calling you, Jed. I'm really in a jam. I'm sure you get those kinds of stories, yes?
Right, and I think that, you know, for most, you know, as you alluded to, you know, for most small and mid-sized businesses, you know, especially when it comes to the marketing side of the budget, you know, essentially the goal is just to spend as little as possible, you know, and that, I think that what you as an advertising professional can help do is to help sort of, you know, bring some reality to the situation to figure out, you know, how much advertising it needs, you know, they need to sell at the level that they need to, you know. So, you know, most pizza places, for example, have a pretty good sense that, okay, you know, if my rent is $1,000 a month and I make $10 on every pizza, you know, I need to sell at least 100 pizzas, you know, just to make up an example. And you know, the question, you know, and then if they're not able to sell 100 pizzas, right now all of a sudden it becomes, you know, oh shoot, maybe I should do more marketing. You know, whereas if you're involved in the process early enough, right, you can talk to them about sort of how it is that they intend to arrive at the numbers that they hope to, and how they intend to make the number of sales that they feel that they need to. You know, you can talk about how, you know, marketing with you can get them from point A to point B. And I think that too often sales reps that I speak to, anyway, you know, they want to be put in the budget, right? They want a piece of the budget, but they're not making enough of a case about what it is that I as the buyer, right, am going to get out of it, right? And that's ultimately where you sort of need to concentrate, I believe, is you know, forget about the amount that you're going to spend with me. The point is, you need to sell, you know, X number of units. Well, to sell X number of units, we need to do, you know, we need to do the following in terms of marketing. And you know, to do that will cost Y, but we'll get you to X. So I think that, you know, it's a much more collaborative sort of conversation than, you know, it really would be great if you'd include us in your budget.
Yep, and let's get real. You know, Jed, we're skipping over the obvious, right? For every $1 in advertising, no matter what I do, no matter where I spend those dollars, should generate what? $2 or $5 back, or $10 or $50 or $100, right? There's a beautiful ROI. When advertising is done correctly, it's the best lottery going. You win every time, right? You spend one, you get two, right? I mean, as long as you can validate and show that you're generating those kinds of results and that kind of response, it's very, very straightforward from that perspective. Let me field a question that came in from Lauren. And for those of you that have questions during the live portion here today, please just send your emails to ernest@powerhour.com or simply just hit reply to the confirmation and we'll tuck those in. Lauren says, is September the main month for businesses to set next year's budget? And the answer is yes and no. Some large corporate entities actually start back in August. Some did RFPs in the second quarter, so they were ready for the third quarter, so they would have that in place. So they might have done them in May, June, or even June, July, so that they're ready for September, October, November. And then, yes, it is September, but that's not the main. It continues. It really, depending on the size of the agency, the media buyer, the global group, it can easily continue into October and into November. I was part of a billion-dollar group, and there was a lot of rolling up, rolling back, rolling up, rolling back, adjustments, fine-tuning, and then we got into mid-November and then came back again mid-December just to see if we were ready, that if what we had forecasted for January, we were in alignment, that we were close. So, you know, if we said in January we were going to be at $10, they wanted to see, were you at $9 in your rev in December, and therefore were you at $8, you know, in November. They wanted to see that we were kind of stair-stepping our way into January. If we said January looks like $15 and November was $8 and December was $8, they'd be like, how do you think you're getting from $8 stair-stepping up to $15? How are you going to get there? So then we had to do another round of December-ish changes because the rev wasn't stepping in, and therefore the expenses had to be reset as well. All right, so that's the piece related to that. So it's not truly the month of September. Now, again, working with medium to smaller companies, they don't have the same oomph around this. For me, I want to make certain that I don't miss the buying season from my large agencies and my large decision makers. I need to be consumed with them during these really 10 weeks that are prime season for them. Doesn't mean I'm going to lose track of my smaller medium, but I can get back around to them into the November, December, and it's more of a regular conversation. I'm not having to hit the mark to be on the budgets for some of the larger ones. So, Lauren, it's a great question. Jed, let's go to number five of the eight most common myths related to budget seasons.
On the people side, doesn't a budget just include new hires?
Mm-hmm. All right. So this is more about internal. We often think about new budget season, therefore new hires, but I don't want to skip over it. This is a real sort of myth about budget season. Before you add in new hires, my first question is, who are you promoting internally? Those of you who are making internal promotions are building a stronger team and a stronger fabric. If I were to join your media group and I look around and there's not been a single person promoted in the last 5 years, what does that say about you as a leader? What does that say about your team? What does that say about your ability to help me grow, to give me career opportunities, to increase my income, and your support, the training, the coaching, the guidance that I need to grow? So the bottom line is, before you add in new people, I want to make certain that you're focused on what advancement there needs to be for those on your current team to give them more career opportunity, as long as we're at it, okay? Where does the coach go for coaching? Where do you go to improve your development? Being here today, live, is part of that. Your success says, being right here, committing this hour together, says that you are always green and growing. There are those of you who have never missed one of our educational programs in over more than 20 years. And we love that about you. You post questions. You work at our academy on Tuesdays. You come here on a regular basis to engage with Jed and myself. That's where we want you to ask yourself, and that's our challenge for you. And then where do you both budget the time? And then where needed, the additional expenditures in order to, you know, have that kind of growth and therefore that kind of success. What we can positively tell you is media buying, media decisions, and media sales is more complex than ever. And if you understand, A, how complex, and B, how to sort out that complexity, you will succeed incredibly faster than those who are your direct competitors, which is always our focus on that. So a little comment about the people side. The only other comment on the other side of the table is that companies who are working on their budget for the new year, guess what they're doing? They're slotting in either career advancements, like we're talking about here, or they're adding in new people. What could that mean for you? New buyers, new ways of thinking. Some of you say that's great. Some of you say, wow, I wish Charlie was still there, or when Mary was there, we got a larger buy. Or some of you say, yeah, but actually Cindy, who just joined the team, has a preference for us because I work with Cindy in her prior agency. It's good news. So just remember that come the beginning of every year, you could have a scrambled deck. People moved up. People moved over. Sometimes people were moved out. Budget season is one of those times of the year that if you are a low performer, you could be removed and not even make it into the next year. So you could have an ad agency buyer or a key decision maker or a marketing person who's no longer there next year. In fact, they may not even make it between now and the end of this year because they have not delivered. You know why they haven't delivered? Because they haven't been making smart marketing decisions, including buying media from you. Huh, who'd have thunked it, right? But it happens. I must tell you, Jed, some of the roughest media buyers, some of the most obnoxious, some of the rudest, some of the most belligerent, that never give you the time of day and you knew you had media solutions for them. I used to sit back and go, how does Lucy keep her job? How is Mark still around? I used to lean back and just, and it bedazzled me and it frustrated me. And sure enough, because, you know, when you hang around for 30 years and you watch media buyers come and go, you know what I learned? Those rude ones got removed.
Right.
And I still was there. They got removed,
right.
And I loved it. So,
question for
comment,
you, Ernest.
What's that?
I have a question for you. So, from the publication perspective, yes. in terms of budgeting, how much do you depend on your internal sales force to sort of to make projections on what their sales are going to be like over the upcoming year?
You know, that's a great question. It's a combination of things. You know, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the budget process. Does it go from top down to bottom up or bottom up and top down? But let me just answer it broadly like this. Corporate or the top, and for those of you that are part of large media groups and teams and you're feeding in your numbers, corporate's got to give direction. Look, we need a 7% increase on rev. We need a 4% increase on profit. Whatever those numbers are, they've got to give you the sandwich so that you know what you're playing for. In reverse, from the field up, we've got to drive, who am I selling? Who am I competing with? What are my renewal percentages? Where do my renewals fall month by month next year? If I'm renewing at 70% and I've got 10 advertisers in January that, you know, I'm anticipating I'm going to lose three. My goal is to lose none, but if we continue where we are, we'll lose three. So I've got to sell three to go sell in order to get a gain. I've got to sell three to cover the loss of three plus three more to get my gain. So it does have to be a conversation move back and forth between the bottom and the top, back and forth, and that's how you arrive at a budget. It can't be done in a vacuum. You can't just have it field up. And you can't just have it from corporate down. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. So, Lauren, thank you so much for your question. Angie, thanks for your earlier question. We'll continue to field those as we roll in. Let's go to our next question.
Okay.
Or our next point, Jed, please.
All right. Okay. I only tie top leaders to budget performance and bonuses, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, so there's a quick story to this one, and then we'll also tie in another question. Lainey was my executive assistant nearly 30 years ago. Today, we're still friends over all these decades. Lainey was my not only my administrative assistant, but every morning I'd come in, and she wore glasses, and she had her little diet soda in front of her with her straw, and she had her little donut, and I'd walk in the office, and in the morning, and she'd lean over her glasses, sipping from her straw, and say, "Good morning, Ernest." That's how we started every morning. She didn't want to be futzed with. Don't talk to me. I'd say, "Good morning, Lainey." Walk right by. 30 minutes later, she'd be up and ready to go. We'd start to talk about biz. And over all the years, whatever we needed in terms of office supplies, Lainey took care of that. Okay, and whatever we needed, she took care of. She also coordinated our trade shows, the tabletops, booths, marketing material, whatever we needed, she took care of that. She was the administrative assistant, did a lot of the office stuff, took care of collections and billings and all the things for so that the sales reps would really do well. One year I came around, and I'd always say, "Hey, here's your budget for office supplies." She would say thanks and keep sipping on her, you know, diet soda, look at me over her glasses, and that was the extent of that. One year I said, "You know, Lainey," I said, "seems like our office supply budget keeps increasing every year. I keep looking at it. It keeps increasing." I said, "What do you make of it?" She goes, "Well, based on the amount of pens that I keep ordering for the supply room, it's as though we're eating the pens around here." I said, "Eating?" She goes, "Yeah, eating them for lunch." I'm like, "Okay." Right. She goes, "We're going through pens and paper and markers, and it's insane." I said, "Well, I think this year we're going to change something. I'm going to let you forecast. In fact, I'm going to give you a little bonus tied to that and the performance, and I'm going to let you do the forecasting and help us as well, like with the trade show." She goes, "Yeah, you know, every year you make mistakes in that. You know, you budget, you know, the trade show in May, but the fact is that we paid the deposit in January, and then we work on the booth in February, March, and then I'm ordering materials. You got all your everything's out of sync. Let me help you get it in there right." So she taught me about where the expenditures actually hit. And so the new budget comes out, and I give it to Lainey. I said, "Lainey, thanks. This got approved, and you're going to guide it." And I said, "But listen, I was down at the supply room. I said I couldn't get in." And she takes her key ring and dangles it and says, "That's correct, because I locked it." She said, "We're no longer eating pens for lunch around here. It's locked. I have a bonus tied to that. You don't get access, nor does anybody, unless I open the door, you take what you need, and then I know what I need to order. Enough said." Well, let me just tell you, Lainey never missed her budget, ever, for office supplies. Right. And that little short story is a reminder of take people to the level of where they're responsible, right, where the rubber meets the road, and hold them responsible, let them be part of the budget process, and then also tie them in to bonuses and incentives. So do not think about just the top leaders or just your sales directors. for me, my goal is going across an entire organization. How can I infuse budget awareness, budget accountability, and budget performance? When I work with advertising leaders, no matter where you are in the world, and I say, you know, well, how are you doing related to your budget? And they say, God, I feel like I'm the only one focused on it. In my days, Jed, I had half my compensation in my late 20s and my early 30s. Half my comp of $300,000 a year was tied to my budget. $150,000 a year is the, you know, relatively young in age and in my career path, I lived and breathed my budget. But I felt like there were times that I was the only one focused on it until I realized that what I needed to do, like I did with Lainey, was take the performance bonuses and recognition and tie everybody to the budget throughout the entire organization, whether it was my art department, my distribution and CERC, my ad sales team, my admin. It didn't matter. Everybody was tied in some way, shape, or form, so you're all talking about the same stuff on the same page, and that's the key. That's the part that is absolutely key related to that. So do not feel. The other side of this, and Jed knows this well, when Jed gets a frantic call from a marketing or from a marketing person or an ad agency, they may have incentives or performance bonuses, or they may be failing to earn them on their side of the table. So you see, we want you to realize during budget season and throughout the course of a year, when a marketing person reaches out, or an agency, or a key decision maker, it's because they're scrambling. It's not going well for them. They need your media solution. Okay, that's the important part. Jed, a comment regarding that?
Yeah, I mean, I think your last point is right on. I mean, I think, you know, more and more with more and more sort of performance based mediums, right? Whether it be, you know, the internet or AdWords, whatever it may be, you know, marketing people are judged based on the results that they're generating. So very often, you know, their desire to use you is based on their need, right? Their need to increase their results within a certain, you know, within a certain time frame. And, you know, to the extent that you can prove yourself a good source for results, you know, the more likely you are to be used in the future.
Yep, that's exactly the point. We're back to return on investment. Let's field another question here. Cameron writes, what can you do when a prospect has already completed the budget process? Well, if you're writing to that, writing to us today about it, my first piece is to ask, well, what did you know about when they complete their budget process? For example, there are some companies around the world, Jed, that their budget cycle ends in September. There are other companies that end of March. In other words, you know, the sacred ground of January through December is not sacred with all organizations. Other companies, like we've been talking about, did RFPs in the second quarter, June, July, May, that they worked on it separate from the overall budget process. But Cameron, our other piece from earlier today, when we talk about budgets being elastic, decisions are fluid, disrupting the status quo, all of those pieces fall into play related to that. So today, a hard budget, truly a hard or rigid budget, like Jed and I saw in our early days of media, is much more pliable today. If you can show me that I can invest $1 with you and you give me $2 back, I'm going to find a way to make that work. And for those of you who are utilizing our teardown strategy, it's actually, can I show you how to keep your same budget and incorporate me and bring $2? Person says, how do I not say yes to that? So we have lots and lots of creative ways to circle around that bend on the budget side. Let's talk about the seventh of the 8 points we promised to cover here, Jed. Number seven.
My marketing went well this year, so change nothing, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, so number seven, is that fact or fiction? Is that true or false? You know, think about your own media group. You cannot afford to maintain status quo. If you're not constantly changing, look at the ebb and flow over this last year with Facebook and the way that they feed news threads. You could have gone out over the years and received a million likes for your page, and poof, you're no longer in the news feed. What just happened? You could have been tying in LinkedIn, business-to-business side, and had an avalanche of activity. Look what's happened this summer with their platform. They have literally pushed themselves over the cliff with LinkedIn. Look what's going on with Twitter, right? Twitter stock comes out, launches at 30, grows to 50, pops to 70. It's in the mid-20s today. You know what Wall Street is saying? We don't buy your model. So you see, you and we cannot count on any social media platforms or any one strategy. Look at what Google does. Every May and June, they change their algorithms. You might have been on the very first rankings last year. Today, you're on the second or third page, and your competitors are pushed ahead of you. What happened? So if you can't afford to sit back with status quo, nor can your advertisers, and your story has to continue to evolve progressively. You have to continue to be able to share. Here's my distribution story or my CERC. Here's my free versus paid. Here's how we go out with controlled, or here's how we've shaped controlled combined with free or whatever it is you've done on your distribution. Here's how we've improved our website. Here's how we've added more newsletter readers. Here's what we've done with strategic alliances to gain even more visibility for our site and thus for your ads. You have to have a bigger story going into next year, because if you don't have a bigger story, then you're status quo. In turn, you have to assume your competitors are doing the same. Okay? So it feels like we're all racing for the same fire exit. We are. Whoever gets there first wins. And then go to the other side, working with agencies and with their buying groups on the other side, guess what? They've got to constantly think about their strategies. We did a whole academy all about the one objection. Why do I need to advertise when I've got all my own social media in place? I'm taking care of home base. I'm out watering my own lawn. I don't need your sprinkler. Guess what? That's not true. We bring tons of value to that story. Okay? Jed, let's tie in point number 8, and then we'll wrap up with a couple additional comments and questions. Point number 8, what is the 8th myth about budget season?
A budget is a big goal or grounds for termination.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there it is. This is all about company culture, okay? For those of you that have worked for large media groups like myself, it was never a reach goal. You had to produce those numbers. For those of you that have ever worked for a publicly held media group, like in my case, you didn't miss by $1. In fact, in my earliest days, if we missed our quarterly numbers by $1, it cost us $50,000. $50,000 was the penalty if we did not honor the covenants of the loan, period. Okay, and when you roll up publicly held companies, you don't miss your quarterlies. For those of you who are stock investors, go watch what happens when Apple rolls out, you know, their quarterly. Even if they miss it by 3 pennies, Wall Street goes, oh my gosh, look at that. They missed it by 3 pennies. The whole issue with forecasting and deliverables, but it's also a good mindset. It's a reminder that what is your culture and what are your expectations? I don't like budgets that are airy-fairy because it leaves too much in between. These are stretch goals. If we can get there, great. You know, but in the end, if we don't, we're still cool. We're all employed. I don't like those. I want numbers that are reachable, that are doable. And frankly, if I fail miserably, I should be terminated if I can't deliver. Doesn't mean, don't misunderstand, if I miss my budget internally for a mid-sized media group by a dollar, you know, you're going to terminate me because it's a dollar. It's not Wall Street, okay? But if I miss miserably by 50%, I deserve to be terminated. In fact, I should be resigning. You don't have to terminate me. I failed, okay? So that's the key piece to recognize related to that. But also remember, for those of you who are working with agencies that are working with big clients, there's lots of money on the line. They get paid to make great decisions. They get paid to buy media from you. But you've got to disrupt the status quo. And when you're working with buyers on the other side in large companies, they have raises, bonuses, career paths, or the fear of being terminated if they don't do their job. There's pressure on the other side of the table more than we realize and more than we consider. And then for those of you who work with smaller and medium-sized companies, there's a pressure to do what? Generate cash flow and just maintain the company to continue to keep the lights on. Okay, so they've got their own pressure on that side. Never lose sight of that. We're going to wrap up with just a couple of additional closing points and maybe field one or two more questions. I have to handle this one. Terry writes, is it any time prime selling season? Terry, I love that. Jed and I were talking about that at the beginning of our program. Of course it is. 365. You know, I used to love when realtors would say, I practice the 5-foot rule, so even if I'm in the grocery store and I'm buying watermelon, and it was within 5 feet of me, can either list their home, buy a home, or give me a referral. I was like, oh, my God, what a concept. And then I realized how daunting it was. The answer is yes. 24/7, 365, we have the ability to sell. ads. But let's get real. During budget season, things really do slow down, stop, and decisions get made that impact us. Okay, and it means that we've got to make certain that we've got our tools nice and sharp. We've got to be ready to talk about competitors. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. And yes, this is prime selling season because so many key decisions are made during this time of year. But throughout the course of the year, we can always be selling ads. So it's a very good question. Let me talk a little bit about top-down or bottom-up and driving the budget process. Jed, you and I talked a little bit about that earlier. If you work for a large media group, yes, the top drives the direction, the tone, the expectations, the detail, the timelines. The bottom up feeds the sales expectations, the renewals, the competitive landscapes, and so forth. But what the bottom up is intended to do, those of you at a sales level driving numbers up, is you're intended to supply the I wish, I want, and I need. Okay? Use the budget season for the I wish, I want, and I need so that you're in there talking about the tools and resources you need because you are the closest to the pavement. If you fail to do that, then you're the status quo. You're not disrupting. You're not taking the strategies this time of year and using it to position yourself properly for the upcoming year. You're missing an opportunity. Very important. Let's also come around the other side, all right? When we think about sort of the budget selling season, right, you know, all of our marketing and media is in play, meaning it's being talked about on the other side of the table by agencies, by large decision makers, and even the small and the medium. We're always talking to them about what they're doing with their marketing. But this time of year, you get those stray calls. Hey, Lucy, I'm just reaching out. You know, tell me again, you know, about how you go to, you know, how many, you know, trade shows do you go to? Where is it that you market your magazine? Give me that list again. Could you shoot that back over? Hey, I was also wondering about that phone tracking piece you talked about. Could you show me some of those stats? You're going to get these kind of strange calls. It's because people are sitting in budget meetings and need answers right now. Do not delay. Every single tool you have, your media kit, your stats, your trends, your white papers, your case studies, your testimonials, everything has got to be top shelf. There's no more important time than in a click of a click you can say, Ernest, Jed, I just sent you what you needed. You've got to be able to respond that fast this time of year. And then in turn, when given the opportunity to make presentations, you might get some version of, Jed, you're the 2 o'clock meeting. Ernest, you're the 3 o'clock. Lucy, you're the 4 o'clock. And Tim, you're the 5 o'clock. We've got you all lined up. We want to hear from each of you side by side by side so we can decide that we're only buying from 3 of you, not 5. Be right. Ready for these kinds of meetings. You know what I'm saying, Jed?
Right. Yeah, I mean it's you have to be prepared for sort of the best case scenario, right? For the client that wants the most information. Those should be the easiest to sell.
That's exactly correct. And also for those of you that have been part of these coaching teleseminars over the years, you know our passion for media comparison, side by side, being prepared to talk about competitors, never bad mouthing a competitor, but giving a side by side assessment. Also, be prepared to talk about your big plans for the new year. This is that time. If you're not prepared to talk about that, then once again, you're status quo, and then you wonder why you're not getting those media opportunities. Okay? Very, very important piece. So, we've covered lots and lots of ground. We're just coming up on the top of the hour. We always want to be respectful of your busy day. Thank you so much for those of you who joined us live. For those of you who are listening to this, behind the scenes, they're available 24/7 thanks to the wonderful team at MediaBids. We upload these. We make them available for you, and you can go back and listen to them. There's more than 10 years of educational programs, and guess what? We don't repeat anything in there. So it's all there for you, close to 100 hours of educational opportunity. Why? Because we believe in helping you win. We believe each month there's an opportunity to be able to come here and listen together in the work that we're doing. We also hope that you'll take the time to learn more about MediaBids and their site, MediaBids.com. Also, come learn about Power Hour at PowerHour.com. We are here for you every day, every way. And we would love to have any conversations that would help you and your group win in ad sales. Jed, how about some closing words, please?
We want your budget projections for sales in 2016 to be higher than 2015. and we are MediaBids and Earnest are happy to help get you there. So you know, keep that in mind. We think 2016 should be better than 2015. There should be growth, and there's reason to believe that there's lots of opportunity for growth. So thanks to everyone for joining us, and thanks, Ernest, for as always sharing a lot of valuable information, and we look forward to hearing from everyone soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jed, and to each of you and all of you, make it a fabulous day. Our closing words always go like this: keep smiling. Why? Because we're winning. Keep selling. Why? Because that's what we do. And the third piece is what? Compete ferociously. We want you to win in the marketplace. Compete ferociously. And that is what we most want for you and your team. Jed, thanks so much. And to each of you and all of you, make it a fabulous day. Take care.
Thank you.